Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. Later this hour, we talk with Brian Engels about his debut novel, Wild Ball, and Lisa Genova joins us to talk about her latest novel, Every Note Played. The protagonist is a renowned pianist diagnosed with ALS. But first, according to the ALS Association, as many as 30,000 Americans suffer from ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. There is no known cure for this neurodegenerative disorder. As a result, many of those diagnosed are placed in the frightening position of knowing that they only have a few years left to live. Independent producer Raymond Tungatar tells the story of a man facing such an illness.
3 years ago, Bruce Churchill first noticed the twitching in his leg. It didn't seem all that unusual at first. Bruce had been a practicing OBGYN for years, and whenever he worked long nights on call, he'd usually get leg cramps the next day. But the twitches didn't stop, so he decided to bring it up with his doctor.
She ordered some blood tests and gave me some medicine for restless leg syndrome, and the lab tests came back abnormal, so she recommended that I go to a neurologist. I had an EMG and originally said, well, it looks pretty good, but there's a couple waveforms or a couple spikes that I think are just unusual. He got slightly teary and serious and said, I don't like to give physicians this information because they know a lot about it or something like that. And so when I saw that he was a little choked up and serious about it, I realized that it very well could be a serious diagnosis like ALS. So from March until July, I just really couldn't do anything other than watch myself get worse. I just wanted to find out. It was a relief down the road when I at least knew what was happening.
After 4 agonizing months, Bruce was officially diagnosed with ALS, a disorder that makes nerve cells wither away. It starts as involuntary muscle twitches, but leads to muscle weakening and ultimately paralysis. Life expectancy is usually between 3 and 5 years. In the 2 years since the diagnosis, he's tried to keep the same routine that he's had for years. He coaches a high school volleyball team and still goes into work 4 days a week.
Coping with a change in your life, I mean, you have to try to find things that fit in. I've tried to keep things as close to the same as I can.
The twitches that used to bother him have now settled into muscle weakness. He uses a walker now to move around.
I need somebody to get me from my car into the office, and I do that in a wheelchair now because of the distance. I get very fatigued if I walk very far now.
As he's been adapting to his physical limitations, he's had to give up some of the most cherished parts of his job.
In June, I was scrubbing my hands and realized that I had been using a cane quite a bit to help me, but after I scrubbed my hands, I can't touch the cane anymore. So I had technicians stand behind me and put their hands underneath my armpits and kind of steady me as I went in. And then I thought, here I am steadying myself to walk, and patients and people in the hospital need to trust you.
He knew he couldn't care for his patients while relying on others for support. Even though he loved carrying out deliveries and surgeries, continuing to perform them would be too dangerous for his patients. So he gave it up.
One of the reasons I went into obstetrics and gynecology is that it was a variety of things, including office work as well as surgery and deliveries. So as I gave up piece by piece, it was harder. I've tried to kind of be a step ahead of my own problems. I didn't want to feel like I hurt anyone or put anybody at any risk.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm just making a salad right now, but we're going to have some pasta.
That'll be a change.
Actually, we don't eat it very often, but...
The changes have also been hard on his family, especially for Bruce's wife, Cindy. She's had to take up a lot of the chores that he used to do. Doing all the gardening, cleaning, and cooking for a household is difficult enough. But for Cindy, this came on top of having to manage her own grief.
I would always have to be hiding tears, and thoughts would just pop into your head, and it would make you really sad, and you'd start to cry. And it was just a really long, hard year. You know, when you find out that you're really sick and that you're going to die, you just, you know, I'm sure everybody deals with it a different way. And Bruce became very angry. This was suddenly something that he had no control of. He didn't know who to blame. And he just came out in a lot of anger, I guess, for a while.
I think when I first got diagnosed, it was hard because I felt like I was being let down by God. And I felt like I had worked hard to try to take care of people and do the best I could with that. And I felt like I had more time to do that, and it was being taken away from me.
What changed?
I realized that I still had a value, that I could still help people even if I couldn't do all of the same things that I always did. So even though I couldn't do surgery or I couldn't do deliveries, I still, you know, could do a lot of the same things that I always could do. It just needed to change.
For most of the 9 years that he's coached the volleyball team at Greeley High School, Bruce has had at least one daughter on the team. This year is his youngest daughter's last before she goes off to college. Despite the difficulty, he's decided not to let ALS prevent him from coaching this crucial season.
I'm not willing to accept the fact that I have this disease and I'm going to die. I think that even to this point, I've been successful in working and coaching and, you know, being a good father and husband. So there's certainly things that I think that I can control. People suggested to me, why are you still working? Why don't you go do something for fun? Even though I've traveled, I really didn't feel like that was going to be my fun. There wasn't really any place that I wanted to travel and go see more than I wanted to be here.
After the game, Bruce will go back to his home and rest, exhausted from the day's events. He'll need his energy. After all, he has another day of work and coaching tomorrow.
Come on, girls, pass Carly.
For Salt Radio, I'm Raymond Tungekar.
Oh, that's a nice pass.
Come on, get that, Maggie.
There you go.
Where did you get Maggie? Maggie, that was nice. You got up with both hands.
Bruce Churchill died in August of 2012, 2 years after this piece was recorded. In this next piece, Avery Hall visits with a patient diagnosed with PLS, a variant of ALS. She also talks with a doctor who remains positive that even if a cure for ALS isn't found, researchers will find a way to slow or reverse the progression of the disease.
In eye-popping plaid pants and a pea-green jacket, it's hard to miss Dr. Richard Bedlack.
I try to wear loud clothes, I'll tell you why in a second.
Bedlack says his funky threads inspire positive energy for patients in
Bedlack
despair.
Is the director of the Duke ALS Clinic.
His patients have amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Their motor neurons gradually stop functioning. They lose movement, speech, and eventually their breathing to a disease that scientists are still struggling to understand and cure.
We don't have what are called biomarkers, you know, like, if you want to study heart disease, well, we know a biomarker for heart disease is cholesterol. If you want to study diabetes, we know that a biomarker there is your hemoglobin A1C.
With ALS, it's not so simple. Diagnosis can take more than a year. That process is often clouded by incorrect diagnoses. The symptoms can mimic other neurological diseases, and ALS manifests differently in different patients.
The textbooks say people who are in their 60s get ALS. Well, that's generally true, but I've seen people as young as 15 and as old as 90, and they say that people live on average about 3 years.
In some cases, it can last much longer.
I went to a lot of doctors before I found out.
Tony Salazzo has a rare form of ALS called PLS, or primary lateral sclerosis. PLS doesn't affect all of Tony's motor neurons at the same time, like standard ALS would. So, while most ALS patients lose all of their motor skills within a year or two, Tony has been losing them gradually for the past 8.
Right now, I can't tell you. I mean, I know where they should be, but I can't feel my legs. I don't know where they are.
When doctors confirmed Tony's diagnosis, he and his wife Liz moved into their basement, which the VA helped renovate into an ALS-friendly space. There are rolling side tables, a machine that helps Tony breathe, and a special lift
So, but you have up and down, and then side to side buttons. She's getting the...
That helps Tony move from his bed to his bathroom. Liz says she and Tony used to visit support groups, but watching the disease progress faster in other patients was too difficult.
Oh, it scared us to death. We want to go in here, and he said that. Yeah.
One person who seems to be immune to the depression surrounding this disease, Dr. Bedlack.
There's a tremendous sense of hope in the community now. We've got more studies underway now than we've ever had in the history of ALS.
He's keeping close tabs on recent studies that might point to a cause, which could lead to a cure. But like its baseball namesake, Lou Gehrig, this disease occasionally throws a curveball.
And the most bizarre of all the progressors are the ones who reverse.
When he's not treating patients, Bedlack runs ALS Untangled, a program he calls the X-Files of ALS. He interacts with ALS patients on his website to investigate alternative treatments and rumors about miracle cures. To him, these reversal cases are signs of hope and could mean a different life for patients like Tony.
Very soon, we will have something that dramatically slows down the progression of ALS, even if we don't find the cause of it.
Until researchers find the cure, Bedlack is wearing optimism on his bright green sleeves. In Durham, I'm Avery Hall.
Compassionate Care ALS is a Cape-based organization offering supports and services for ALS patients and their families. We'll have a link with more information about Compassionate Care at our website, capeandislands.org. Coming up after a break, we talk with Lisa Genova about her latest novel, Every Note Played.